Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
It certainly is, and this morning in the studio we've got Carolina Panico, who is a doctoral student in politics and international relations in the Faculty of Arts at the University of Auckland. Kia ora, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for coming in. This sounds like a really fascinating research area. You are looking at the emergence of the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, which I think is probably a good place to start. What is this treaty and what's it sort of encompass?
So this is a treaty that comprehensively prohibits nuclear weapons. It's a very important issue that we've been dealing with for the last 70 years. And from the 22nd of January, so last Friday, nuclear weapons are now prohibited under international law. So it's a huge deal in international politics, in an issue that it's been really, really hard to get rid of these weapons. So from now on, nuclear weapons are illegal.
So what does that mean in a practical sense? Because countries have nuclear weapons. So what happens to those weapons, and how does that kind of change, I guess, the nature of armament for countries?
So countries still have nuclear weapons, and probably they will still have them for quite a while. But what happens with this treaty is that there is a normative momentum going on. International law is very powerful in society. So what we're trying to do here is put a norm in place that will slowly and perhaps in time influence this big powers to get rid of their nuclear weapons. They will probably not sign the treaty and join the movement right now. But the social power of the treaty is what we expect to influence them in a long term.
So who are some of the signatories at the moment? Because if you're sort of thinking about, I guess, how many countries and who as a country has that sort of weight when it comes to signing a treaty, who are some of the signatories?
So we do have New Zealand, and New Zealand was a very important actor in actually putting the treaty forward. We do have Brazil, Austria, we do have Mexico, we do have a lot of the Pacific Islands as well. Cambodia just ratified the treaty last Friday. So we do have about 86 signatories, and we do have 52 countries that have actually ratified the treaty.
Wow.
What a ratification means is that the treaty is in force for that country. It has passed all the parliament processes and so on, and is now the law in that country. So it's quite significant number of states that have ratified.
So this must have been something that I imagine nuclear powers weren't extremely pleased about. What's been some of the responses from those countries that do have a lot of nuclear weapons?
So they have tried to boycott negotiations ever since the whole movement started. So for you to have an idea, when the negotiations were going on at the UN, these states were outside, literally outside of the UN's doors, holding a press conference, trying to say, look, this is a bad idea, we shouldn't be doing this. And in the meantime, 124 states were inside the UN room negotiating the treaty, and actually we've had 122 voting yes to the treaty.
Wow.
So the nuclear states were not very pleased, and they have been trying to stop the treaty. But still, the treaty is in force, and the norm will probably put a lot of pressure on them long term.
So for you as a researcher, what's your particular angle of interest on this whole topic? Because it seems like a really massive historical moment. What are you looking at in particular?
So my research looks at the emergence of the treaty. So I don't look much in terms of what the treaty will accomplish, but more the process that made this treaty happen. So for me, it's quite interesting the fact that we have a treaty that prohibits nuclear weapons. It is an interest of these big powers. Mm. And in international politics, the traditional way for things to happen is that the US and the big powers will influence things to happen because they have money, they have the weapons, they have the strong militaries. But what happened with these processes is that countries like New Zealand, like Brazil, like the Pacific Islands, you know, like these small and middle powers were very successful in putting a treaty in place that really goes against the wishes of the nuclear power. So I'm trying to understand the dynamics going on there. What's going on in this whole process? So what's powerful in international politics?
Mm.
Is it just money and weapons, or is ideas matter? The way that you frame an issue matters. So I'm trying to understand what's powerful there.
It sounds really fascinating. And I think when you talk about it like that as well, it is something that you often see in media narratives, is very much usually from the perspective of these big Western powers. And when you kind of think about it, particularly in a country like Aotearoa, New Zealand, we have such strong relationships to the Pacific, and we, you know, are within that context ourselves. And our history with nuclear weapons is very notable in the world for being a nuclear-free country for a long time. Does all of this kind of history, in your opinion, play into the way that this particular treaty has come about as well?
I think it does. For me, it's all about this contrasting stories, right? Mm. And for me, it's really powerful to have a country like New Zealand with all of this background stepping forward and saying, look, we should put a treaty in place. These nuclear weapons cannot exist anymore. This is a real threat to everyone in the international community. When you think about the issue itself, it's been something that controlled by the US, the big powers. It was all about power and, you know, having an enemy out there that has nuclear weapons. Mm. And now you're stepping forward and saying, look, these weapons are inhumane. We shouldn't have them. So these contrasting stories are very important. I think New Zealand has played a very important role on that.
Well, it sounds like absolutely fascinating research, and I wish you all the best in the rest of your doctoral studies. Thank you so much for coming in and chatting to us about it, Carolina.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn, thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.